As Tuesday allows and as schedule allows, we have the privilege of speaking with Maine Governor Paula Page in the Blaine House. And he's on line one. Good morning, Governor. Welcome back to the George Hill Rick Tyler Show.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, George.
It's been a pretty wild 96 hours, Governor.
Yeah,
and
it has.
Can you
just
what happened?
It's very simple. Every day we work to try to keep people alive. We try to get, and I've asked the legislator to come in and help me get the people off the wait list. I've asked them to give us the tools we need to fight this horrific epidemic in Maine. And then when I was called a racist, I just lost it. And it's no excuse. It's unacceptable. It is totally my fault. And my family is getting the brunt of it right now. Lauren and my wife are getting these horrible emails and these horrible pornographic, just vile pictures and emails. And I just apologize to the Maine people, to Gatine's family, and most of all to my family. And we will take action. This morning, as I go to Washington County, I'm going to be out today. They're going to call Drew Gatine and ask him to come in and meet with me in the morning. That's the first step. And then it was just totally unnecessary. I just can't let it get to me. This summer has been a rough summer because I've lost so much sleep over people dying every day. And it's just when people call you a racist and you're trying to figure out a way to stop these deaths. It just got to me. It just got to me. And I make no excuses. It's my personal fault.
Governor, I followed the story from the very moment it started. And I'll ask you something which I offer as a respectful question. And, that's how we operate here. As I saw it unveiling, I knew what was going to happen. It was just, my new sense was. And I had the thought in my mind, at any point, wasn't there maybe a little voice in the back of your head that said, this may not be a good idea?
George, in all fairness, this is the one time in my entire life, and I've been through a lot of things, but this is the first time in my life I couldn't breathe. I was so angry. I literally couldn't breathe. It's one of those things that with everything I've done in my life, and I am... deep down in my heart, I know I'm not a racist, and I've done a lot of good things, and it just absolutely got to me with everything we have done. I am a lot of different things, and I have faults like everybody else, but a racist is like it's like a word that I just can't explain it. It's like calling a black man the N-word or a woman the C-word. It's just absolutely knocked me off my feet. And I made no apologies for it. It was really totally, totally unnecessary, and I need to do something about it. And we're considering a whole lot of different options right now.
We know that legislative leadership, GOP legislative leadership, met with you yesterday. What can you tell us about the meeting with Mike Thibodeau and Ken Fredette, sir?
Oh, they're very, I'd say the gist of the meeting is the Republican House wants to salvage what we can and move forward. I think the Senate is making demands that there are some, I could do a lot of it, but some of it I just can't do. And at least at this point, I've talked to my family, and there are limits on what a person can do and will do. And so we're looking to those options.
Representative Gatine, the Democratic legislator from Westbrook who got the voicemail, he has said that he was afraid, and et cetera, that for his family. When you meet with him, what kind of a meeting do you think this is going to produce? He's called for your resignation, that type of thing.
I don't know. I don't know the man. I've never met the man. I don't know why he called me a racist. I'm willing to meet with him. I don't know why he fears for his family, because of all the things I'd ever do in my life, I wouldn't waste the possibility of being incarcerated over a Democratic legislator that I'd never met. I use a metaphor of the 1820s when duels were common practice, and that he's scared of that, and I don't blame him. Maybe I don't know him, so I don't know. But I do know that it was inappropriate on my part, and I will call to see if we can meet.
Maine Governor Paula Page talking with us here on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Governor, you've made reference to this so far in our conversation. How do you move forward from this? Can you move forward from this? And how do you move Maine forward from this?
Well, all you can do, Rick, is you recognize what you did. You ask for forgiveness, and you explain why you did what you did, which is not very pretty. I lost my temper. I think I've done a lot of good for Maine. I think I can continue to do a lot of good for Maine. I mean, I was pretty down when I asked with the big surplus, and I was looking forward to having the House and Senate come in and get rid of the waiting list, which we had gotten rid of in our budget. They elected to reinstate it, and now we have the money to pay it, and I just was shocked that they just refused to do anything. I think that the people that are refusing to work with me are also the same people that are termed out. I look forward to, towards the end of the session, I've met with Sarah Gideon on a number of occasions, and there's a lot of common things we can do. For instance, they understand what my problem is with solar energy. It's not the energy. It's not the technology. It's the above-market contracts. I think she understands that. I think that there's opportunities to move forward. I know that Ken Fredette, and I expect he will be the Speaker of the House. I think we've worked now 4 years, and we understand each other much better. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, many people, it's like anything else. I have never met a person who's been perfect and not made a mistake. And hopefully the people of Maine will say, okay, we'll forgive you this time, and you clean up your act, and let's move forward.
Governor, in retrospect, one of the issues that keeps coming up was tying this horrible drug problem we have in Maine only to the blacks and Hispanics. That's the way it's been framed, at least in the media. I know that you were referring to
that way. George, the fact of the matter is this, and I tell this to the Maine people. I got all of my information in my book from the press. It's that simple. I'm serious. What I did is every drug arrest, we get the story and the people. And when it comes to meth labs, they're essentially all Maine white people. When it comes to the heroin epidemic, it's just the opposite. And you know, whether it's right or wrong, and I'll leave you to make that judgment, but I spoke fact. Now, they're saying, well, you can't do this, you know, every day. They say you can't do it because of the racially charged atmosphere in our country. But the same token is all lives matter. That's the bottom line. All lives matter.
Governor, can I ask you for a clarification?
The majority of people dying are Mainers.
Can I ask you a clarification? When you spoke in North Berwick, and a listener sent this to us, and you spoke of the people that are coming from Waterbury, Connecticut, Brooklyn, New York, Bronx, were you talking specifically about those who are bringing heroin into Maine?
Yeah, traffickers.
Traffickers. Yes. Because
specifically about the people that were bringing this poison up the 95 and level it in Maine and killing Mainers. That's exactly what I was talking about. And I thought that was very, very clear that the people bringing the stuff into Maine are killing Mainers. It's a poison. Frankly, it's murder.
Because there were people that thought you were talking about, and we even had this conversation this morning with other lawmakers, that they're talking about the entire drug picture. Those who are building meth labs in Maine. Those who are caught using drugs. But you were talking, just to make sure, you were talking specifically about the majority of those who bring and traffic heroin from those cities to our state.
Exactly. And I have said on numerous occasions, when you're talking about meth labs, they're white people from Maine. When you're talking about the heroin laced with fentanyl, it comes from Lowell, Lawrence, Massachusetts, Waterbury, Connecticut, the Bronx, and Brooklyn. I've been saying it very clear. These are the people that bring the poison into Maine. And even it's the same, some of those people are on trial now for murder because they have killed people in Maine. Whether it's for the bad drug deals or whatever, I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's exactly what I was talking about. I was talking about the trafficking. And if legislators think it's something different, then they should have been attending, really, because that's I think it's pretty clear that I've been talking about traffickers. And I will tell you another thing. It's very clear that I say out of state because we have a minority population in Maine, and they're not involved.
Yes, that's an important point to make. Governor, I know that you are going to meet, or you were going to get back to the leadership today, I guess today or tomorrow. I'm not going to ask you to tell us what you're going to say to them, but can we anticipate that you're going to finish out your term?
I don't know, George. I'm as I said earlier, I'm looking at all options. I think some things I've asked to do are beyond my ability, and I'm not going to say that I'm not going to finish it. I'm not saying that I am going to finish it. What I'm going to do right now is I'm taking one step at a time. I want to meet with Mr. Gattine. Then I want to meet with my team at the office, and we're going to look at what's the proper options to move the state forward. Do I still have a lot of juice to and a lot of energy to help fix some of the problems, like to get rid of the wait list and to lower taxes state of Maine? Yes. It's very clear, and make no bones about it. I'm wide open on this. The opposition would clearly like me to go away because I have been their biggest adversary these last 6 years, and we've fought very hard to make some improvements. I think we have. I think there's a lot more that can be done. I think there is going to be a significant change in leadership. I think there's no question that the speaker and I, with an ongoing lawsuit, is a very difficult environment. At the same token, Justin Alfon and I developed in this last year a much better working relationship. So I think there's a lot more that can be done, said, and move the state forward. I just need to see whether or not I'm the man to do it.
Governor LePage, toward the end of your first term, you were on this radio station. We were broadcasting live from an early bird breakfast in Bangor, and I asked you if you wanted another 4 years, and you told me you did want another 4 years if things worked out, because you said, and I'm paraphrasing, you said, sir, you're not a quitter.
Yeah.
Am I?
That's exactly right, and I still believe that way. The thing is, though, it's not about me. It's about making sure that we can move the state forward. And it's really one thing to have one party behind you. It's another thing not to have any party behind you. So that's very important. You know, it's not about me, and it's not about anything else but the Maine people. We have to move Maine forward, whether it's me or somebody else. The fact of the matter is, 2 more years and nothing gets done like the last 2 years is not really the way this state should be moving. The last 2 years were the most horrific years of my life, when people dying every day and people sort of just ignore it. I mean, I don't know how people can ignore a newborn in a NICU. And I've gone to the hospital to watch them just shake and shake. And then you watch somebody like a neighbor in Booth Bay, whose cousin just came in last week, and we were talking about the death of her cousin, who's 29 years old with a young infant in their family. And it seems like nobody, you know, people are willing to throw around political rhetoric, and I don't know that that's the right thing to do. I don't think it's right for Maine. Why do we have 3,000 people on a wait list who earn services, and right now, as I speak to you, there's no willingness to come in and to help these people. These are the type of things that it's not about me. It's about the Maine people. And if I've lost my ability to convince the Maine people that's what we need and that's the type of people we need in Augusta, then, you know, maybe it is time to move on.